Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
What's up, drunkies? That's right. I'm calling our listeners drunkies now. I feel like they need a name, don't you, Blake?
Drunkies?
Drunk. Until something better comes along.
Let the listeners decide.
All right, well.
You're that till you think of something better. I'm sure you can think of something better.
They need to contact us.
Have more faith in our listeners.
Well, I'm calling them drunkies today. It'll be something else. We got drunk holes on the show, okay. They can be the drunkies.
Fair enough.
Welcome. It's episode 12 of Drunken Lullabies. I am the voice, Dustin. Joining me is my co-host, Blake Biermanski.
Hello.
And we've got a couple Peoria area beer nerds joining us for the first time on the show. To my right, I've known this gentleman for quite a while, going all the way back to my college days at ICC.
Wow, that is a long
Harvard
time
on the hill.
That
yes,
is a
yes.
Long,
yeah,
long
the
time
turn ago. Of the century. That makes it sound even longer.
Wow, really was.
It was the turn of the century.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it really was.
We're saying 97-ish.
Yeah. If you go to the Fox Pub in Peoria, which if you're in Central Illinois, I'm sure you've popped in at least once. Yeah.
It's delicious.
You may have seen this gentleman tending bar, or if you are into watching people play with fire, you may have seen him twirling some lit sticks with grace and style.
Lit sticks,
you know.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Yeah, we'll get into it a little bit more. Hopefully he...
That's a technical thing.
I'm just hoping he's not going to a flow show after this, because I don't think that'd be good to do drunk. But we can get into that later. But Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And next to him, another beer nerd. I guess he has drank at Blake's Love Hole before.
Yes.
So he's familiar with the environment today, but he hasn't been on the show. First time hanging out with him and sharing some beers. Welcome to the show, Chad.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And as always, we've got our drinking game going on. And if anytime somebody swears, does a impression, pop culture reference of some sort, or says the word of the day, you have to take a drink. And today the word of the day is sour.
Oh,
and
good choice.
I thought it, you know, it's fitting. We had the Valentine's Day episode last week, and we had our significant others on, your lovely wife Ashley and my beautiful girlfriend Brianna, and it
my
was
wife.
There
got,
we go.
Got it in there. We
got
can't.
It. We have
it.
It's always
episode, so it has to be on there.
So that was a very sweet episode. So what is the flip side of sweet?
Good point.
We are going sour. So
we're like Chinese food.
It's the 21st, and we are getting sour today. So
you guys have to drink like three times now, don't you?
What's that?
We have to drink three times. Oh, sour. Oh,
yeah.
We don't follow the rules.
We don't follow the rules.
We would get very hammered.
They're not drinking what we're drinking.
We would just have to drink more.
Yes, yes. Right. This is for the listeners at home, so they are feeling the effects just as we are. And we're starting off with some beers from Rare Barrel Beer Company. And Blake, you acquired these via your crazy beer trading.
Trading, but this is another one similar to the brewery episode where they have a society. So if you somehow like make friends with somebody that's out there, or like if you're in a beer forum, you can and you know trust somebody, you can put out there like, hey, I'm gonna pay a membership to join this society. Will you pick up my beers and ship them to me? So this is another one where you know, you can avoid lines if you manage to get into the society, then you're guaranteed beers.
It's good to have friends.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I traded for these. I'm not in the society. I wish I was.
But. Cool. All right. Well, do you have any info on Rare Barrel?
Yeah. This brewery is a sour. They brew sour beers only. It, when you look at the labels on there, it says a sour beer company. Jay Goodwin, who was brewing at the brewery, who we also featured, he left there to start another brewery, the Rare Barrel, and he wanted to focus on sour beer only. They're out in Berkeley, California. He felt like sour beer was kind of being underserved, which, I mean, really, it's catching on.
It's catching on now
a lot, but it's also underserved. Like, you can't, I mean, if you go into, you know, any liquor store, you can find a lot of, you know, stouts, IPAs,
oh, for sure,
whatever you need, but sours are not always, yeah, easy to come by. You know, some places that carry European beers might have some lambics or some goose, but you're not going to find a ton of selections.
Around here, usually the only sours you will find in plentiful abundance are brought to you by our sponsor, Distill.
Yes, very good. Nice. Yes, very good.
Their Wild Sour series is phenomenal.
That is true, though. Very, I mean, it's true. I mean, some of the best sours you're going to get locally, because we don't get a lot, especially being outside
Chicago. Boycott Bland.
Yeah. Yep. you know, that's a very good point. But so, you know, these guys, they felt like sour beer was being underserved, and so they started a brewery to...
Good deal.
Yeah, kind of bring it to more people.
All right. Well, I think I'm ready to try one of their beers. You want to start doing some pouring there, Blake?
Oh, I would love to.
All right.
That kind of says a lot, too, for the brewery itself, to know that it was actually one of the original members of the brewery.
Right.
That did all those traditional style beers, and then now pulling out this is kind of like seeing Perennial doing Sidekick.
Right.
Or Side Project.
Side Projects.
Which is, like, incredible.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's get to mine on there. You hear that, listeners? That is the sound of Impossible Soul. And no, that's not an Otis Redding record. It's a sour, a golden sour that comes in at 7.2% and has been aged in oak barrels with tart cherries and sweet cherries. It's fermented with Saccharomyces, Brettanomyces, and Lactobacillus, and some other special microorganisms. They leave that a little vague. This blend displays notes of cherry preserves and hints of lemony tartness. At the heart of this beer lies an impossible soul, seductively tart, yet timidly sweet. And I believe this was bottled on May 20th of 2015.
That's good. Yes, it's the 2015. Says on the bottle, it says golden sour beer aged in oak barrels with tart cherries.
Pretty much all these are discontinued. You can only get them if you, like, they make them in batches.
Yeah, they make them in batches, they release it, and then it's done. Until, I mean, if they make it in another year. Like, some of them they've released multiple times.
But. Definitely got a hazy color to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, river water, as I would call it.
This is good. Last night I actually drank the Home Sour Home, which I enjoyed a lot. It was like a peach, cinnamon, and vanilla. Mm. That was good. It was like sour, but had some sweetness at the end. Mm-hmm. And then I had Map of the Sun, which is also good, but you got to really like sours because that one was like puckering. You know,
this,
like,
has got a good, this has got a good tart finish on it. That is for
really
sure.
It's mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sour, but it's not, yeah, like,
yeah,
so puckering that you're like, right, oh, wow.
So many sours, I think, that turn some off that are new to it, or kind of like how some people fall off from IPAs, is that astringent citric cut that's like almost like vinegar-based. Mm-hmm. Not in IPAs, obviously, but in sours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But sours like this and others that come out, especially ones from Distill that I've had, like their St. Decares line, that are really mellow, like the Metallurgy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really mellow, easy, clean, nice tart finish to it.
Yeah. I always say, like, because some people that don't like beer, but maybe, like, they like wine. And someone's told me this before, is sours are almost a good way to get some of those people into beer, because they might not like the stouts and the IPAs.
Right.
Whereas certain sours have more of a wine
characteristic. Yeah, for sure,
I mean,
sure.
I drink
if
this,
you like the fruit,
you know, it's
wine.
It's a little more sour, yeah. But, you know, it's kind of dry, like, you know, some wines. It has some fruity flavor, but it's not overly sweet.
I'll test it out over the next week. Anybody that orders, like, white wine, I'll be like, yo, yeah, drink this pair of
try it out, you know. Yeah, you never know. I mean, maybe some people don't, but I bet there are some you know, wine lovers that would try some of these and be like, wow, you know, I didn't think I liked it.
Yeah,
I liked
this. Sours were the last major beer group for me to get into.
Me too. Agreed. The last frontier. Agreed. For me. Yeah, yeah, it took me a while,
you know. I tried them at first, and, you know, some of the first ones I tried were Distill, and love you guys, but I just wasn't ready for them. And I have had them since, and they're much better now to me.
Yeah.
My palate had
to
adjust.
That's just how it is. No, it is. I used to not like IPAs for a while, you know, and then it's just...
Blasphemy.
You know?
Right?
Eventually you find... I don't know. I feel like you just find one, then you start drinking them, and eventually you want to try something else. And so that's how it was with sours. I'd had so many flavors, but then I try one. I'm like, wow, this is cool. It's so much different than any beer
I've had. That's what I try to tell people if they're like, oh, yeah, it just, they didn't. And like, take a break. You know,
like,
don't give up on it. Yep. It's the same thing with, I've had albums that the first time I listen to them, I have preconceived notions of what I think it's going to sound like. And when I play it, I'm disappointed because, like, they went in another direction and I'm like, I don't think I like this. And then I'll just put it on a shelf for 6 months and I'll come back and be like, I really dig this.
Being a fellow music lover, I've done that.
So too, yeah, just don't throw in the towel yet. If you've tried it once and then you go back 6 months and you still don't like it, and you go back again 6 months and still like, you know, after a couple of years, all right, you can say they're just not my thing. But yeah, you never know. You could develop a bit of a taste.
Well, just because you didn't like one sour doesn't mean you won't like another sour. That's the other thing, because.
So many degrees of how tart it is.
Oh, yeah.
I turned a guy on at a beer event to sours, and he was like, "What? I don't even know what a sour really is," you know? And I'm like, "Well, try this one." But before I had him try it, I explained what he's tasting, he's going to taste, you know?
Yeah.
And once he knew, like, what to expect, then he was like, "I kind of like that." And then he came over to a different event, and he's like, "I've just been buying every sour I can find. Like, I love it so much," you know?
The first one that got me into him was actually because... you know, they don't taste super sour, but it's like a goose. I had the Dreamfontein.
Is it goose or gose? Is it just depends on who says it?
I mean, whatever you want to say. I'm not a, you know, linguist, I guess. Right. I don't know exactly, but, you know, is the Dreamfontein or Fontainen? However you say it.
Pre-Fontaine. He was a cross-country runner.
Oh, it's pre-Fontaine.
Yeah, that's it. Jared Leto played him in the movie.
Those aren't super sour, and they're more of a funk, which I like some of the beers that have that. Like, they call it, like, funk.
We love the funk.
Yeah, it's hard to describe, but you'll know if you ever have one, and you haven't before, you'll know what I'm talking about.
There's some funky IPAs, too.
Yeah, it's just a funky...
I can't remember which one it was, the VIP tent at the Pure Beer Fest last year. And it smelled like musty socks and dirty socks and a mildewy basement. Yeah. But it was fantastic.
Yeah. Those are the only kind of beers where people use words like horse blanket or dirty gym socks. And you're like, that sounds disgusting.
Wasn't a cat piss?
It's a cat piss. And see, that's how I got into sours, too. Like, I didn't really get into them. Like I mentioned, I went on a hiatus one time for just, like, went crazy with them. But then it wasn't until I came across, like, Almanac and New Belgium's dry-hopped ones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
And those kind of perked my interest, being an IPA junkie across the board. It was very easy for me to be like, oh, it's got Citra in it. Might as well give it a try.
Yep.
And you're like, holy shit, the nose on it. It's not dirty socks anymore.
Right.
And it kind of, like, tricks you.
Those are cool. Yeah. Some of those kind of, like, IPA, or, like, they have the hops like an IPA, but then they kind of have some of the sourness.
They're just trying to trick people into drinking more sour. That's all it is.
Well, I'm ready to try another one.
I respect that. Well,
I think...
What are we going with here?
We're going to go with the...
Get the...
all right. This is the wise guys.
Hey.
We got the wise guys.
I should have worn my zombie dust.
But this is guys, as in you're wearing a guys.
Oh, we're all wearing brewery shirts except for me. Usually we go around the horn and say what...
All right, you got a fox shirt.
Say what glasses we're drinking out of, but at Blake's Love Hole, the glassware isn't quite as entertaining.
Hard to come by,
At
and it just be the same every episode.
The Drunken Lullaby Studios. Over at my place.
So that's what you do with distill. Get distill to make you glasses.
I've got a distill glass I drank out of it last week.
Excellent.
Why are we whispering?
I like to whisper too.
That's a new game. If we whisper, we have to take a drink. We're making ASMR videos over here. Anybody know what that is, or am I the only weirdo?
Only weirdo.
Okay.
Yeah, only weirdo. Top someone else.
Yeah. I'm going to give Mike and I a little bit more here. The first pour is always the least because... We gotta go conservative, make sure there's enough to go around. Who wants the dregs?
Yeah. I think the dregs are a good idea, too.
Who wants
it? I'll take it, sure.
It's your bottle.
I'll take the dregs.
Total different world.
And so, a whole new world.
This one is what? Wise Guys?
Sure.
This is the Wise Guys. This is a 5.4%. It's a red sour beer. And it is it's a blend of ensorcelled and our golden sour.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
It is fermented with Brettanomyces yeast and Lactobacillus bacteria.
Delicious books.
I had to Google that word to make sure I was pronouncing it correctly.
Bacteria?
Bacteria. Fuck you. This moderately tart sour beer displays notes of rasp berries and citrus fruits.
Oh.
And it was bottled January 13th of 2015.
Wow. See, this is one where it's got...
It's darker.
My favorite sour, where it's got some sweetness with the sour. Some ones that are just all sour... But this kind of reminds me, not the taste-wise, but of how that home sour home was, because it had like some sweetness with the sour. And I
okay.
love that.
Wow. I'm doing a comparison on the noses here. The first beer, you can tell that's a sour mm-hmm. scent for sure. This one's a lot milder. Mm-hmm. You get the raspberries for sure.
Yeah, that's what mm-hmm. I love. You really do taste, because sometimes I'll tell you, you know, it's got these berries in it, but it's just so sour you don't taste it.
Yeah.
You mm-hmm. definitely, I'm a big fan of that.
I just took my first sip and put a smile on my face, so that's that's a good thing.
What do you reset your palate with sours? Like, I know a lot of beer, you can do cheese, some people will do certain types of meats.
Water?
Water? I think we have to cleanse
milk?
With other sours.
Well, I know sorbet is like a palate cleanser, right?
Sorbet is?
Sorbet, yeah.
We do have some Crown Royal over here.
Oh, ginger, that's why they give you ginger at a
Backs of tequila just to cover it.
Coconut rum. I'm looking at what else is in here. Do you have any of that horrible banana alcohol?
99 bananas.
Yeah.
Jason drank that. Thank
that
God.
That would probably go good with some sours.
It's like gasoline.
I was looking up some stuff because we were talking about Brettanomyces.
Brettanomyces.
I didn't know a ton about any of these, but I looked up and I was like, oh, in the wild, Brettanomyces lives on the skins of fruit. So that's, you know, why some of these they put in the fruit and then it has that bacteria. And that's what helps, to grow some of these kind of sour mm-hmm. flavors and that.
The funk.
Because when I was, doing a little bit of research, like regular beer uses brewer's yeast, whereas like when you're having a sour, it's like wild yeast and bacteria.
Right.
They call it like, some of them like spontaneously fermented. Yep. You know, they put them in these, what is it, like cool ships or whatever that they used to do, which is
really,
you just open air, giant like steel.
Yeah, they still do it.
Yeah, and places still do it. And it's just like open air. So then just whatever kind of bacteria.
Like,
it looks like a giant metal bath. Yeah, exactly. Just kind of whatever.
I want to bathe in it.
There is, it's cool.
I'll bring some of my own funky.
Yeah, I'll bathe in that bath. Yeah.
Funky bacteria.
Hey, well, you know what's funny? I think it's lactobacillus is humans have it in them in various areas.
Yeah.
You would create some funk there.
They actually do. There's a couple of breweries that make one beer from the women's yeast. Mm-hmm. Rogue does one from beard yeast.
Really?
Yep.
And there's a few others that are different styles.
How do
you
get that through
yeast?
The FDA? That's
and then you
it's growlers only.
And it's complemented well with a Fremunda cheese.
Fremunda cheese.
Yes. Well, I think we're gonna play some music, and we've got a special treat for you. Our band of the week is called Susto, and they're from Charleston, South Carolina. And Blake and I actually spoke with the singer Justin Osborne about the songs that we're going to play today. And we've got interview clips that we're going to put into the show here right before the song, so you can get a little bit of an idea of the history, where the song comes from, and then you get to enjoy the song. So we sat down about a week ago over the phone and had a nice little chat with Justin, and we're happy to have him on, and
and thanks Justin if you're listening for doing that.
Yes, really for sure. So here's what he had to say about our first song, and this is Friends, Lovers, Ex-Lovers, whatever.
Yeah, that was one of the first songs that was kind of thrown into the batch for the Susto record too. There's definitely a story behind that. It's kind of a one that you've probably heard a million times from people, but it's about a breakup that took. It took, years to really, for the breakup to even phase out, the house I mentioned to you guys earlier, the Australian Country Music Hall of Fame, this house on Line Street in Charleston. When I moved into it, my girlfriend moved in downstairs and I lived in the room right above her. And, we broke up like maybe 3 or 4 months into us living there. We'd been together for almost 4 years at that point, but we had kind of a tumultuous relationship. A lot of the songs on that record are about that breakup.
Gotcha.
So we had broken up and we were having a bit of a hard time, just because, there was a lot there, we had been together for a while. She starts to know people, I start to know the people. And we were living in the same house.
Yeah. That's a weird situation.
Yeah. That's definitely a different situation.
Yeah. And then it all kind of came to a head in Acid Boys, with the guns and the cops and all that shit. But that's a different story for a different day, I guess.
Another song.
But,
yeah, it's a good song
as
well.
But so this particular song, I was I was sharing a room with my friend Nick Woodley, who co-wrote the song with me. He also co-wrote a couple other songs with me. He's like a West Texas or an East Texas kind of like trash country kind of singer. He just happened to be living in Charleston for a while, just making music. And he had seen me going through the whole thing, you know. And it was Valentine's Day, and I wrote her Valentine's Day card, and it said, "Friends, lovers, ex-lovers, whatever. I hope you know I'll always care." And Woodley, being the grumpy country singer, he was like, "Man, you got to write a song about that. That's country music lyric if I ever heard one." And so I had to be at work in like 45 minutes, but we walked upstairs and sat down in front of the computer and played this. We kind of worked out. The first thing I played was the lyric, and then the lyrics were after. I was like, came out so effortlessly. And then I was like, let's freestyle some verses. And I freestyled the verses, and that's the lyrics.
That's awesome.
I was kind of putting it in a perspective that hopefully one day I'd be looking back on it and it'd be a long time ago, but it very much was in the moment when it happened. But yeah, I really love that song, and it really helped me kind of deal with that time. I mean, a lot of the songs on that record were ways for me to kind of deal with what was going on in my life. That's kind of always how I write. And yeah, I like how that one came out, and I'm very happy it did come out, because it has been, we have had some success with it, and it continues to find new people. So,
well, I knew you for a long time. There was a long
is Susto with Friends, Lovers, Ex-Lovers, whatever.
I love that song.
You know, keep it casual. You know, whatever.
That should be on the radio. Sounds to me just like something that 99.9 would have on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And hey, 12 episodes, that's 3 months. We're already bringing you artist interviews now.
Boom. Wow.
Look at that.
Look at
so
us.
Fancy.
Drunken Lullaby stepping it up a notch.
That's right. We had to pay a lot of money for that
We did?
No, we didn't.
You told me it was free. He has a per diem?
I blew our entire budget.
Damn it. Distill, we need more money. Blake is squandering our sponsorship without my approval. All right. I'm going to be treasurer now. I didn't even know you were Electra treasurer of Drunken Lullabies.
I'll be secretary.
Okay.
You make a cute secretary.
All right.
Thank you.
Ooh. All right, time for beer number three, and this one is Supermassive. Much like the boner I'm going to get when I drink it, I think.
It's like cloudy and red and just looks delicious.
It is 6.5%, and it is a dark, sour beer aged in oak barrels with blackberries and black currants. The sour is fermented with Brettanomyces yeast and lactobacillus bacteria well. Notes of blackberry jam and tannins will pull you into this assertively sour beer. And it was bottled March 5th of 2015.
It does not taste super sour to me.
No, not at all.
It has almost like a...
It's got a more sour smell than the last one, than the Wise Guys. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a between. Like if you poured, which to I me, do not recommend, sour, pour beer one and beer two into a glass together. This is probably... You know, it's like in between their scents.
Yeah.
I'm not really getting a blackberry nose, though.
It's got tons of funk. If you swish it for a little while, you get that nice kind of like...
Yeah, it's got a little... That's what it is. It's like not as sour, but it's got a little more funk to it. I was trying to think of what...
Like, the Brett's kind of weird, though, like the way it smells. Because Brett usually is like kind of that really bright... I don't want to call it straw, but your brain knows what I'm talking about. Maybe it's the tannins.
Yeah.
But this funk is like a little bit more assertive. And I don't know if it's like the barrels, like the tree branches. Like, think wet tree branches during fall. With a little bit of flowers in the background.
Is it the funk of 40?
That's a good description. Man, look at you. Welcome. We need Mike on here. We're using words like,
the poet.
It tastes awesome. This is good. And he's like giving you a
fucking Robert Frost
story.
Over here.
Yeah. I was like taken away, like, wow.
Me too.
You know, like, where am I? I'm not Blake Ruffle. I'm in the forest.
You know, I like to think I'm
just playing music.
Yeah. I've got away with words, but yeah, you know, we got our poet laureate over here. Lord Tennyson. Yeah. Tennyson of the Tannins.
This is good. Oh, I didn't mention earlier the rare barrel, like the brewery, I don't know if they got their name from us or because of the name, but like their whole thing is they're trying to like make, you know, like the perfect they want like the best sour beer possible. So like the rare barrel, I was reading, it was like every year they go through with like some Cicerones and like wine experts and like, I don't know, just all kinds of people that like really know like good beer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll try all these different barrels because they have just tons of barrels, you know, at any time. Like, you know, if they taste one and they don't think it's good, they'll dump it. So they're just trying to get the best beers to release to the public.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. You said, Cicerones, that's like
a beer. That's a sommelier.
I thought,
like a wine. It's a sommelier.
I thought those were pork rinds. That's what they call them in Mexico.
Sorry. No, this is slightly
the
different.
Cicerones.
But they'll go through and they'll taste and they'll find like the one barrel they call like the rare barrel that they think is like the best of all the barrels, and then they'll have like a party. Which I don't know if it's like if
a
you're
barrel
a
party.
Member of you know the society you get to go to it, or if it's very exclusive, but yeah, you know, like, and so they'll have that barrel and then everybody like,
and then at the end of the night somebody wears it with the straps and then they wear the barrel around.
And that's where they get the funk.
Yes,
right.
The funk of 40,000 years comes
from. I can't
believe
they use a Cicerone to do that. Like, it must be a master because I'm Cicerone. And like, I couldn't pick out those
fucking A. We got a Cicerone on the show.
Right. I
didn't know you were Cicerone.
I'm not like Master.
You've been Cicerone. Boom. Yeah, because Master's.
We got a nickname.
Like very, very Pat. Few.
One of the guys, the distributors for actually RJ Brewers in the area. Or not RJ,
shoot.
Sorry, my bad. Brewers.
Yeah.
Pat's Master. Or two.
Two? Two, I think, yeah.
Two, yeah. Yeah.
Because isn't there's like a third level that's
Master.
Like very. Yeah. Because Master's like.
I don't think there's
very
many,
difficult.
Like,
I was watching a show.
100,000?
Yeah. I don't even know if it gets that many yet. Because I was watching a show. It might have been like Drinking Made Easy or so. I think that's, you know, what it was. And they were showing some guy there. And it was
that
like
was Zane
crazy.
Lamprey?
Yeah. And it was
love
crazy,
Zane Lamprey. Three Sheets is a great
Three
show
Sheets
if you've
awesome.
Never seen it.
It's hard to like find them. I wanted to buy
not
them.
For me.
But you do have all the DVDs?
I got a box on my TV that I can access all of them. That's one of my favorite shows to watch when I'm drinking.
That show is awesome. I love it, traveling.
Drinking Made Easy is good, but not as good
as
Three Sheets.
Way better. I love like traveling and that whole show. Like, this guy's a genius. Why, like, how did no one think of this show before? It's like, hey, I want to travel the entire world and get paid to get...
Well, now there's also the booze traveler, and that guy's kind of fun to watch, but Zane's more based in comedy.
Yeah.
So I find that show
like
more
shows.
Enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right, well, your nickname is now the Cicerone.
Nice. Fair.
So
yeah, Almagang actually has a Master Cicerone. It's one of their brewers.
Really?
Yeah, he came. We did a tap takeover with all the Game of Thrones
three-eyed Raven. Yeah,
with all those Mogollas. Like, yeah, he came in. That's cool. I didn't really get to talk to him just because, you know, pulling tap handles and throwing very drunkies.
Yeah,
but,
it's amazing.
Do you get a pay raise with being a Cicerone? Oh,
like, at first, I was just like, cool, I can do this, and, like, I can go to wherever I want and probably land a job. Like, does it help sell beer a little bit, maybe?
Yeah, it's like having a master's degree as a bartender,
right?
If you think about it.
I had a master's degree as a bartender.
I know a lot of people that have taken the Cicerone certification, and I'm not saying they don't know shit, and I know shit.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, I can tell a cheeseburger from a hamburger, and they can't.
Okay. A little inside baseball talk right there.
I'm not trying to be a dick.
No, I don't.
That's the point of the three levels, I think, is that, like, the first level, it's probably like, you know more about beer than just Joe Blow off the street.
Totally.
Right.
Descriptive terminology.
But, yeah, you know a little more, but, like, once you start getting in, like, that second or third level, like, that's probably where you really got to study. You really got to know some stuff, and somebody would, you know, that was that level would know if you didn't.
It did some serious shit. Like, a level two is, like, written oral exam in 2 days. Like, level one's like a 30-minute multiple question, or 30-second, or what the fuck it is, like 60 multiple questions, and it's just like, they fire them at you and they'll trick you, but it's like your basic stuff, like style, color, ABV, like location, similarities, sanitization processes for, like, you know, washing dishes and shit like that. But I mean, it doesn't, like, foam on beer kegs and stuff like that, different things you should, shouldn't do. Yeah, and off flavors, vinegar, wet, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't get intense, whereas, like, level two is like, I mean, it's like a book like that. I'm fucking studying.
Wow.
It's like ridiculous.
I just like to drink it.
Yeah.
Chad, what about you? Are you seeking a formal education in beer studies?
I am not.
You are a homebrewer, though.
So
you have more knowledge.
You do. Yeah. You definitely have more knowledge than most common.
Do you have a name for your homebrew?
Black Cat 13.
Okay.
Brewery.
All right. So we've had
I like that name.
Busted Brewing. And then we've had Brutal Truth. And then, now we got Black Cat 13. Cool.
Yeah, I've kind of named it after my, I had a black cat, obviously.
No shit.
Yep. And for 16 years.
Oh,
and
man.
He passed away, and that was the year I started brewing.
Okay.
So I kind of named it.
Okay.
So all the beer names have to do with him. Like, my very first beer was Cream Ale. And so I call it Milky Chin because he drink milk and walk around.
Have Milky Chin.
And then,
that's clever, man.
Like, my pale ale that I brought today, it's I call it Green Tooth, which is a sad story. He apparently was a chewer, and so he'd chew his food rather than crunching it and swallowing it, so he had really bad teeth. So you'd smell him come in the room, you know, like, before he came in the room.
That's awesome.
But so we got that taken care of. That's Green Tooth, and there's my Scotch Ale, I call it, I'm trying to even think of it now.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
These beers aren't that strong.
Well, is it? It's a really funny
maybe you should
name
drink
too.
Some more.
Yeah, all right. It'll come back.
It'll come back. To you. Yeah. So this one, you know, I feel
Stinky McFat Bottom.
Oh, okay.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That is off. If I saw a beer named Stinky McFat Bottom, I'd be buying it just based off.
Right.
Of it.
Yeah.
It's obviously Scotch. It has Mick in it.
Yeah.
That is a reason why I bought Tramp Stamp from Clown Shoes the first time I bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's definitely there's several beers that I've bought based on name alone. Coronado, they had a pumpkin beer that was called Punkin' Drublic, which I bought just because I'm a NoFX fan, you know, and like old school punk. And unfortunately, the name is much better than the beer was.
Yep.
That's why it wasn't featured on our pumpkin beer episode way back. So, there's a lot to be said for a clever name. And what sucks is there's so many beers now that it's getting tougher and tougher to have one of those cool names because chances are it's been thought of.
Yeah, that's like a
but
huge
Stinky
problem
McFat Bottom, I don't...
People like suing each other over and shit.
Oh, yeah. Beer industry, it's like a big thing because like... You know, if you start some brewery in the middle of, like, Texas or something, and you're just selling to locals and you don't distribute, you know, you don't know every beer out there that's, like, you know... For,
and
like,
not everything's on Untappd, you know?
It's crazy, you know? So, like, you might name something, because I know Bell's got into it with some, like, tiny brewery, you know, like, way back, because there was some beer that had the same name, and it's like... I don't know. These breweries almost have troubles like thinking of an original name, which that's crazy.
And at the same time, it does pay just to Google. If you have an idea for a name, just Google it, see what comes up.
Yeah, that can't be that bad.
Well, I had to do it with our show. You know, there when I was researching, I was like, you know what? I'm trying to think of a name for the show that involves drinking and involves music. And first thing I thought of, Flogging Molly song, Drunken Lullabies,
which is surprised it wasn't taken.
That's our theme song. Well, here's the thing. Okay, so I did research. I looked on iTunes. There was no Drunken Lullabies or anything on there. I do a Google search. It pulls up this show called Drunken Lullabies Radio, and I followed that. And it's some girl in the UK that just plays music. She's just doing like a radio show. It hadn't been active for 2 years, and she only had like 30 followers. I'm like, okay, she's not really doing much with this name. She doesn't have a website. It was white. I was like, fuck it, I'm taking it, you know. And we're Drunken Lullabies podcast. She was Drunken Lullabies radio.
Yeah.
No.
She's listening. She doesn't, over in the UK.
She doesn't have the website. And,
she's rubbing her hands together. Yes. Yes, finally.
But, you know, our friends on The Beer Report, Groucho and Chud, they actually mentioned us on one of their episodes.
They did.
And, quote unquote, called me out in a, you know, in a joking way about not doing research because they typed in Drunken Lullabies and that was the first thing that came up. And I was like, yeah, well... Now, if you Google Drunken Lullabies podcast, we're
at the top.
We're like the first three.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, like Drake. You know, we started from the bottom, and now we're, Hotline Bling.
Hotline Bling, oh, yeah.
Oh, call me on your cell phone.
Wow,
so,
he's right here, because, yeah. I think that was actually him.
I feel bad we're not talking about this beer a whole lot, but it's good, but I think the other two overshadow it for me.
Really? See, to me...
I'm getting the jam, you know, now more that it's warmed up.
To me, this is second so far. The last one, The Wise Guys, was first.
Yeah, The Wise Guy for me as well. Still pretty
and
sticking
the
out.
Impossible Soul would be... I mean, I loved it, but it would...
This is the last rare barrel we are drinking, so we can get into our picks for the day. This would be an appropriate time for it, because we've got some other beers that we're going to drink, but these are the only three rare barrel...
Yeah,
this
the
is the
episode.
Featured brewery of the episode. So, for me, I loved I loved all three of them, but I'm going with that second one.
Oh, you are?
I'm going with The Wise Guys. That's right. That's my pick.
Might we be unanimous here? Let's see what Mike has to say.
Yep, I'm on it.
Oh, Chad?
Same.
Hot damn!
Yep. First episode unanimous.
First time ever.
Second time.
Oh,
second?
It is.
We had Permanent Funeral with Hippie, but there was only three. Funeral, so this
is the first four times.
Four part harmony right here on Drunken Lullabies.
We're a barbershop quartet right here.
Yes, it's good.
Really good.
That was not harmonious at all. All right. Well, I think now that we've made our picks. We're going to tell you about a show that you should pick as a subscription on your phone or on your iTunes. And that's another show from the Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network. And it's called Sex with Heather. And it's a show that is about our friend Heather. And she talks about sex with her plant, Heather, and occasionally some other guests. And she has a little commercial that we're going to play for you right now.
It can be exciting to start new relationships. The ins and outs of getting to know each other, the inside jokes you create, and the frank and honest conversations about anything and everything. I, Heather, am beginning a new relationship with Heather, a Kaluna shrub that grows in Europe and Asia Minor. She's a wildflower with a roaming spirit and a tough exterior. I thought, what better way to get to know my new shrubbery than to discuss the ins and outs of sex? We'll be taking a look at each other and laughing about how funny scrotums look, peppering it with facts and friendship. Sex with Heather will be coming on Wednesdays, only at fcfnetwork.com.
All right, and we are back on Drunken Lullabies, and it is time for our sponsor spotlight.
Dude, this smells
Distill.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Distill Brewery, Bloomington, Illinois. They just released this about a month ago. It's hot. It's hard to find, but they gave us a bottle to try on the show.
Because they're awesome.
And everybody at this table, Chad, Mike, and myself, have had it. But Biermanski has not.
Didn't you guys all have it on draft as well?
I have had it on draft and in bottle form.
See, and I haven't
it's
even...
It's actually on the draft of the Fox right now.
It is.
Oh.
But this,
to the Fox.
This is the Metallurgy Pear. It is 6%. And metallurgy is the technique or science of working with metals, and the sour ales in this unique collection are aged for about a year in stainless steel rather than oak barrels to maintain sour ales in their purest form. This metal-aged purity and simplicity is further complemented by relying solely on the wild yeasts and other microflora naturally occurring on the fruits to beautifully and spontaneously sour these beers, bridging all gaps between ciders, wines, and ales. Sour pale ale. Yeah. Did I say that? Sour pear ale? Sour, I think I said pear. Pale.
You said pale. Sour, yes. Pear ale.
Yeah. Sour pear. This is the first pear beer we drink.
We apologize.
It presents with a pronounced aroma of fresh pears and Brettanomyces, with light straw color, a mouthfeel, and body that is velvety soft from fruit skins, similar to Sauvignon Blanc wine, and a bright flavor evocative of ripe, fleshy pears.
This fleshy. Is way different. And you can tell it's not... like okay.
Way different.
Well, it's so much different than the others.
I'm going to have
different than what it was on draft too, because on draft it was like pear, like citrus.
I told you, like it. Right. I have had it in both forms. I will say I did prefer the draft. Yeah. The draft brought, like you said, it was much more fruity.
This is so different, but
it's
than
still
I've had.
It's
I mean,
still
I can
good.
Taste pear, but not like sweet. I don't know. It's more subtle, and, and there's almost like a
And there's no. It's stainless steel like aged, so there's there's not going to be the oaky, you know, agey style.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but that is just so different.
The pear's carrying through, but not like it did on the draft.
Yeah, see, I mean, I get some pear, but not like it's...
And so
it's completely different.
Yeah, and coming from the rare barrels, too, all I tasted was malt. Like, it was, like, the maltiest thing.
You too? Okay, because I didn't want to say that, because I didn't know if it was just me, but I'm like, this is weird.
No, it's just barrel aging, it's just what it does.
I'm like, I taste malt. And like, not, like, in a negative way, it's just after drinking those.
Yeah.
It was just...
shift your tongue.
That's so funny that you said that, because, like, I was about to say,
that's all I smell.
It's not malt, but maybe I'm weird, I'm not some, expert.
And I guess, basically, what we're saying is we feel bad, because if you're drinking it on draft, that means you live in this area. Mm-hmm. So, for anybody that doesn't live around us... Distill does distribute to 14 states, so you may be able to find this on the shelf, but...
I think it's just Illinois this year.
Illinois right now.
Oh, is it?
No, Illinois right now. When I was reading on their...
unless you trade, like you do.
Yeah.
I think they're going to release more.
Yeah.
And it'll hit all their states.
There's two more.
Now it's only in Illinois.
There's two more types in the works that are still aging in the barrel... room. Well, no, not in the barrel room, because this is stainless steel. And I did not see any stainless steel barrels when I was there. So, yeah, there's a couple more. I think they're doing a... I can't remember what other fruits. But there's two more that they're working on, aside from this pear. This is just the first one to come out this year. So
I want to know what the buttery in flavor... like, that's something that Distill does with all their St. Decares. And I know this isn't St. Decares. It's like...
you mentioned the magic word.
Right.
Well, not... St. Decares. I mean, sour is the magic word.
For sure. Sour.
These are all sour beers. Yes. But we've got a St. Decares to drink, too.
Yeah, I'm looking at the website right now. So they released Metallurgy Pear in bottles and draft in
Illinois. Darker.
With a full release later this year. So, if you're looking for it.
And it's just
the flavor.
Yeah, talking about that, it almost sounds negative. But it's not. It's a great beer, but it's just such a...
yeah, it's such a departure from what we had, but that's the stainless steel, you know? It's not the oak.
Which was... this was the kind of the word on the street from a couple of their workers and brewers, was like, this is completely different than what they've had from their Flanders, their Goes, the other St. Decares. They've done it's like, this is a complete change. This is a lighter opposition. Like, a lot of Goes you go into and try.
A lot goes into the Goes.
Like, go and the go and the go. But they're lighter, they're easier to drink. Like, I think my first fall in love with the sour was the Kirk Goes from Victory, which was a cherry one they did.
Yeah.
And it was super easy to drink. And then it was the Festive of Peach from Dogfish.
Yep.
And it was like they were both simple, not simple in a bad way, but simple and easy to drink.
Yeah, this Metallurgy is like, it's like I could sit, like some of these sours, like putting a whole bottle away would take me a while. Like this is not difficult to drink a bottle, but it's good.
Yeah.
And it's very different from anything, you know.
It's weird good though. Like the
profile
that's in there is funky.
It's weird. Yeah.
Okay, you guys having had the draft, it seemed sweeter to me on draft.
Totally.
This is more of a sour pear taste in the bottle, but on draft it was more of a sweeter sweet and sour, I guess, you know.
It's got the same that's in the bottle. It might change after a while.
And that's the thing, is like oxidization, how it was, put in the keg or whatnot, but it's like its finish is like what's throwing me for a loop, because the finish, like on tap, also had this like kind of unique, like creamy finish where it hits the center of your palate. On the edges is where like the citrus and everything rides through, but it's just like, it was way sweeter. I don't want to call it a cider-ish on draft, but it was bright and crisp on draft. Yeah. And this is still bright, but there's not of that fruity crispness in there. There's like applesauce, like fruit, type of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's
that
mash to it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, what we're saying is that's kind of cool that you can drink the same beer two different ways, and it's still good in both ways, but surprising.
Just different.
Yeah, so good job, Distill. You did something here.
Mm-hmm. Or we can be lying because they're a sponsor.
The Cicerone doesn't lie.
Often.
You can take the Cicerone out of the Fox, but he's got to be going back there soon enough. All right, so I poured, this is one of their Saint Decaras, and this is the Ex Commune Deux. It is a sour Dubel. Is that?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Dubel. All right, ale aged in
oak barrels. We say double in America. Yeah.
America, we say double.
And this is also from 2014.
Okay. Yeah, this. Well, if I remember right, when I talked to the guys there, they put the year based on when they put it in the barrels, when it's released.
Because I had an Excommunié Quatre that was put in barrels.
So this was put in the barrels in 2014. Not that it was taken out of the barrels in 2007.
So it may be kind of, wow.
Here's a cool fact. When I was doing some research earlier, just looking up, because I like to look around before we do an episode. So, we're doing sours, so I was looking up stuff about lactobacillus, Brettanomyces, Pediococcus, because those are like, bacteria that are used to ferment some of these. So it came up when I was looking at Brettanomyces. The genus name Decara is used interchangeably with Brettanomyces, which I had no idea, because I was like, where did they come up with Saint Decara? I had no idea what that meant, just thought maybe something they came up with.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's really cool, because it's their sour series, and Decara is used with Brettanomyces, so I was like, that's pretty neat that they did it, and I had no idea. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I had no idea, so I thought that was a really neat...
And there's a little bit of a description here I can read. They're our Saint Decara Reserve Sour Ale series are naturally soured by spontaneous wild secondary fermentation and aging in oak barrels with microflora wonderfully unique to our downstate Illinois terroir. Google search that word pronunciation too. The French words always catch me off guard. Where we embrace the individual wild character of each barrel to produce beers with a wide array of acidity, sourness, and unadulterated funkiness.
This is good.
I think that's our episode title. Unadulterated funkiness. That's the name of the show.
I love the Quatre, but like, and I think they had a Trappel as well. I forget, but I don't know. But of all the Saint Decaras I've had, I've had quite a few of them.
And
this is my favorite.
It says it can be cellared, but please enjoy before you perish. Which, we say that about all beers.
Well, that's another thing we didn't mention about like sours on the show that some people might not know is what's cool about them too in the wild yeast is like some of these, because people usually think if you're going to cellar a beer, it has to be like a real strong beer, like some of these 10% stouts. But some of these bottles of like wilds and like Cantillon's one of the most like famous from Belgium and that, but like some of them are only like 5%, but since they have these wild yeast in that, you can like keep them for like 10 years. Not saying you have to do that, but what's cool about it is they won't go bad, and sometimes having this bacteria in that they almost kind of develop new flavors and change not in a bad way. It's neat, because if say some of these you bought 5 bottles and you opened one every year, you might notice like this has changed, and that's what's cool about it.
Which is what I'm doing right now with a beer from Stone.
Oh, really?
I bought a selection of their Enjoy After, their Bread IPA.
Yeah.
And I bought one and opened it like a month after I got it, and then I've opened one now at 5 months. I've opened one now.
Well, that's cool.
And I'm leaving the last two for like April.
And if you
last
notice that they've, I mean, had
total fucking different beer.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
It's just funky, bright, zesty, just fucking Brett. Like, no hop whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it's an IPA. Mm-hmm. In 4 months in, it was like a Brett IPA. I've had quite a few Brett IPAs.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for this next one and see how it is. Because, like, the Golden Ticket might be the one that's at 7... 4, 16, or the hell it is, and stuff like that, just for the stylization of it and the way things come out. It won't be an IPA anymore, though, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, but it's like, but it'll still be a good beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. Good luck to those people.
All right, so shit. Basically what we're saying is Distill's making some good sours.
Oh, yeah.
This is really good.
They make really good beers across the board. Then.
Yeah.
Like, right. Their Weisenheimer, like, we had it in can. I was like, man, it's all right. And then we got it.
We may be spotlighting that next week.
It's fucking good. But, dude, the Dals with Dania Rye that we had on.
Yeah, they won some. They,
dude, we had
Frobab Award winner.
We had all that different stuff right next to it.
Quit smacking your hands on the goddamn table, Cicerone.
It's all right.
Don't give me free beer.
Your earbuds just exploded.
But no, that event, you had Dos Vidan Rai, Prairie Bomb,
Braxis, Chocovesa.
Yeah.
What else did we have?
I'm trying to think. Because my wife's huge in it.
That's too much.
My wife. I had to. You said my wife. I had to do it. I'm sorry.
She's huge in Imperial Styles. It's her favorite style. And so, but she, out of all of those, she...
Yeah.
Got the full pour of the Dos Vidania. Yeah. Like, that was her favorite.
I drink three of them. I don't drink stouts. Like, they have to be really incredible.
And you guys had the rye barrel
one? That's the only one I had.
Red bottle.
I had the rye at your birthday party.
Yeah, in the rye. Thank you to Drew.
Drew.
Who works
Distill.
Whoop, whoop. Inside hookup.
Yeah.
But,
quink, quink.
He was the reason I got to try that rye. And, yeah, I mean, it was good, man. And I don't know if it was that one or the regular. I think it was just a regular that it fell out this year, which is the
it was
Festival
a
of Barrel Aged Beers.
Right.
For anyone
was that the one that you chugged?
No. Well, here's what happened. It was my birthday, and it was late, and I had been drinking some.
A bit.
And then I'd had a lot to drink.
He was overserved.
Somebody left half a bottle of Dos Vidania, and I mean, we'd all been sharing, and I was like, I'm not going to leave this, let this go to waste.
It's my birthday.
I was
30.
You know, but I was about to go to bed soon. I'm like, I just need to get rid of this so it doesn't go to waste. And I chugged it, which you should not do. You should appreciate that beer. But at
you
that
challenged
point, I was
12%.
It was half a bottle, but still, the next morning.
He challenged the bottle cap
like
kid to it.
Was beating
it was a chugging contest. You had Dos Vidania, and Jason, the bottle cap kid, had Bud Light Lime. And Blake still beat him.
Yeah, he had like two sips down and my beer was gone, and that's...
And then commenced the shirtless dancing around Blake's love hole.
I don't remember that, so it didn't happen.
I know.
Yeah.
You don't remember
it. I saw it.
It's true.
I can't forget that. All right.
Some things you can't understand.
Well, I need to wash my palate and my memory right now, and what better way to do that with some music? So we're going to play another interview clip from Justin from Susto, and then we're going to play the song Circle Fountain. So we will see you in a bit.
So that song was written about hanging out with my granddad. Woodley kind of started it. He was always kind of fascinated with the characters, some of the characters in my family. But it was written not too long after Friends Lovers, actually. I'd gone through a breakup, so I was in a period of my life where I was kind of chasing girls. And my granddad's kind of notorious for that. So one time we went back to my hometown, and my granddad's an avid shag dancer, which is like people have maybe never even heard of that, but shagging is like the state dance in South Carolina.
It's not the definition I've heard before.
Yeah, I've heard a different definition of shagging.
Yeah, no, definitely. The word is versatile, but, so it's just kind of dancing. It's like a lot of the older generation like to go out to these little shag clubs and dance on Friday nights. And my granddad is one of them. He was like the state champion for 10 years. He was competitive and dude's kind of a character, but, he shows up in a lot of our songs actually. But, so we were out there one night and we were just kind of like hitting on girls, at the shag club. Cause there's the younger people there too, that go to like, it's a bar, you know, the young people don't dance as much.
Yeah.
But my granddad is like a pothead and he doesn't drink. So he goes up to the bar. He goes up to the bar and just smoke a joint before he goes in. And he says, now Jay, I'll tell you, I like to hit a little doobie before I go in and dance. Because when I get stoned, you know, I can hear the beats in between the beats, and that's far out. You know? that's what beats. And so, and Woodley heard him saying this stuff. So Woodley sends me a, like a voice recording of a song with the opening lyrics on. We were sitting at the Circle Fountain watching everyone shag. Mr. Stewart, that's my granddad. His last name is Stewart. But, so it's basically just very honest song about being around him and who he is, and also just like hitting on a girl, you know, and being fairly candid about like the modern ways that people stalk each other on the internet.
Yeah. I've been creeping your Facebook and that. Yeah, I noticed that. That was good, man.
Yeah. So that's kind of the story behind that one. All of our songs, I mean, I think that you don't have to know the whole story to get to, you know, enjoy the song, but there's definitely a very like confessional and almost diary type sense to all of our songs. They're all about something that directly happened, which is fun for me because it's like, I'm really into like confessionalist poetry and also like the Trova traditions in Cuba, which are kind of like that. And it's fun because you can be, when you're that kind of honest, you can be playful and also direct at things that, you know, problems you're having, problems you see in the world. And it's fun. But you can also be lighthearted. Like Circle Found is definitely a lighthearted song, and it's about just having a good time, you know?
I've been checking you out. I've been looking at your Facebook. I've been doing all the things that I know would probably creep you out. But honey, it's a big world, and it's so hard to find you. Being alone is such a bummer, so let me get your number tonight. But we were sitting at the Circle Fountain watching everyone shag. Mr. Stewart was in the corner smoking a fag. Well, he'll be moving, he'll be shaking, moving all over the floor. They say he's always been cool, always been in style. He's been doing his thing since 1949. It's a checking you out. I've been looking at your Facebook. Well, I've been doing all the things that I know would probably creep you out. But honey, it's a big world, and it's so hard to find you. Being alone is such a bummer, so can I get your number tonight? So come on, mama, let me get your number tonight.
And we're back. Well, at least three of us are back.
What?
Chad and Mike and I are here. Blake's pissing right now. So we're opening. We have a guest beer that Chad, Black Cat Chad, brought. It is the Une Ane. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
Une or Une?
I don't know. Like I said, man, French. I and my girlfriend, Her last name's French. I know how to pronounce that.
French for the show already.
Cuvée. I can pronounce that. So, but they're out of Chicago, and this is the Le Soul.
Wait, is her last name like Cuvier? Like
no, Cuvée. It has
one E.
It has the accent over the E.
Cuvée. Like two E's?
No, one.
Okay, because isn't it like a Cuvier or whatever, like a blend?
No, there's a Cuvier. Yeah, like when we did our advent calendar for the 24th, I got her a bomber and I got her a Cuvier or, you know, whatever. Like, I figured I had to.
Because that means blend, right? Isn't that? Okay,
I thought so. So this is, I had the number one last weekend on my own, which was a cranberry, and it was very mild. It was not very sour. And this one is a hoppy golden sour ale. Equis, Maya, Sanguinaire, and Austere base beers are blended together with raspberries and allowed to sour using our house blend. This is 8.5%.
So do they all use different fruit?
It's a wild ale fermented with raspberries.
So they keep the same name, but they use different fruit.
Number four just came out, and that's peach.
And number three is blackberries.
So is it like the same base beer, but with different fruit, I wonder?
I would assume the same blend. And then
that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You know?
So while we're
my first beer from them. I'm pumped. I've wanted to...
This is probably about my 10th.
Really?
That's my first one. Does not
Friar Tuck in Peoria's got a good selection of theirs. They're on the end cap.
Takes the cake or the nice guy.
This is very good.
Yeah.
And these guys are out of Chicago.
Chicago. Yeah.
You were saying
they're working on getting a bottle, or not a bottle, but like a brew pub. Right now they just bottle, and that's the only way you can get their beers. But they're working on opening a location so you can go and
you said
try.
Me that they have like a society this year.
They do. They have a society.
There's like $100 membership or a $300 one, but the $300 one gets you like 24 bottles or something like that of beer and like a 10% discount at the brewing. I mean, it's really not bad when you think about a lot of wilds. I mean, it'll cost you. I mean, they're not cheap. Yeah, 15 or 20 bucks. So you figure for $300.
Yeah, it's a good deal. So look into it. It's on their website.
That's what, 12, 13 bucks a bottle?
What's cool about this brewery is that it's fucking Chicago. It's not even like in the city. Well, it's in the city.
And they're not one that you hear as much about.
Yeah.
They're up and coming.
We've had several of their Belgian IPA. We had their Wild Sour just like a week or two ago. Sorry for the drumming fucking noises.
All good.
Chad's on the lookout, man. He's got my hands in a wrap. I got a rubber band on my hands now. I'm good. But just to have a brewery of this level that does Belgian-style beers, like traditional, non-traditional, like this close to us.
Yeah.
Like, there's others that do stuff, but, I mean, they're really incredible.
I'm pumped for them to get, like, a brew room, like, to go up there, like, next time I'm
going to do you a favor, Blake. We will have a spotlight episode for them.
Yeah, nice.
Because I literally did not know that you had only had one beer by them today.
Honestly,
I've been enjoying quite a few lately.
Well, the thing is, at least, you know, where I live, anyone listening from not around here, I mean, the closest place to get them, it's like 30 minutes away. Not that that's that far, but I don't make it to the store that sells them.
It's convenient.
That often. So.
Freckles lives about 10 minutes from Fire Tuck, so I'm up there quite a bit.
I just don't make it up to that. Back in my days, pre-kid, you know, it's like, oh, I can get off work and I feel like driving up to Peoria to get a beer, I'll do that. Now it's like I have to get home because I have a child that...
Yeah.
So why aren't they distributed over to Broadway or anything yet?
Maybe they did it. They have trouble selling wilds and sours. And
just it's peaking, dude.
It's not even peaking. Like, well, I mean,
even Peoria.
Matt and I
talked about
that.
That's probably
why
it's on the shelf there.
It's like we've had a few times where like we'll get a killer sour and put it on, and it will stay 3 weeks. Where if we drop a really awesome IPA,
you ran out of theirs last weekend.
Yeah,
but that's why I got to enjoy the Metallurgy on tap.
Yeah,
was because it replaced it. So I can't. Can't complain too much.
As a design guy too, I really dig their.
It's the same.
Yeah. It's very simplistic.
You know,
art wise,
they catch your eye.
Yeah. The first time I saw it, because like I love that bold in your face.
I kind of
like,
do too, but now I dig it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But so, it's like now I'm like
sours are probably
the Belgian style. What they're doing?
Awesome. Yes, yes.
I think right now the reason it's probably like that a lot of places, unless you're in like a Chicago or New York or somewhere where you get. I have a ton of beer nerds. I think it's one of the most underappreciated styles, and just you know, it's so dissimilar, so to speak, from a lot of other styles that I think you know people maybe some people are just have trouble getting into them or they're scared to try them because that's what's you know they're like oh they're nervous to like buy a bottle because like oh I might not like it but. I think as more and more people like them, you'll, you know...
Get promiscuous. Get crazy.
On the shelf, you know?
Try some things. Learn some things about yourself. Consider it like being in college and you experiment a little.
Experimenting.
But that's what's great about beer is there's so many different styles. And
we'll try to feature as many as possible.
There's so many different ones. Like, you know, I've had stouts I don't like and stouts I do like. So it's just like, that's what's great about beer. Don't ever just think I had one sour and I don't like sours. Because that is a terrible mindset.
Now, Mike, I know you got to get to work soon over at the Fox Pub. So we're going to get to your questions now.
Sure.
So that way, in case you have to bolt, you can do so. And we won't be offended. We always ask our guests the first time they're on, what is the first craft beer that you remember enjoying?
I think it was Bud Light.
Okay, Cicero. I don't know what they taught you in Cicero school, but I don't think that's a craft beer.
So if I remember correctly, it's been a very, very long time. Like, we were talking about this at work the other day. And I think it was Honey Brown and or possibly Michelob Amberbach.
Okay. I've had the Honey Brown before.
Switching them up and grabbing them at like a Kroger, like pretty young, you know what I mean? I'm underage, but
like, Drunken Lullabies does not endorse underage drinking.
Sure. But I think after that, what caught my attention at first was stouts. Beamish. Mm-hmm. Like, Beamish was in Beamish. Town. Kelleher's in a few places had Beamish, and I fell in love with it. Guinness really wasn't my thing, but for some reason Beamish did.
And then Beamish was released for a while,
It's just a better stout.
And then after that, it was like, all tied to typical shit. You know what I mean? Like, a guy was bringing back Blue Moon and Fat Tire from out Colorado and stuff, and I was like...
Yeah, but those were cool. For a while, those were like a big thing to get, you know?
IPAs changed my world, though. Like, it was when I had my first IPA, which... Who knows what it was? Yeah. I have no clue. It was very long ago.
Stone, you don't remember which one it was?
Liking. The first one that I like.
Yeah, the first IPA. With. Yeah, that really.
Or like, one of them. One of them.
Yeah, it was. The first
made you wet.
One of the first ones.
It was from.
Or were you dry hopped?
It was. It was before the days of dry hopping, I believe. I believe I'm correct. It was downtown when I used to bar back at SOPs. If you want to throw that.
Oh, that's way back.
Old time.
It was. What is the hell is the winter beer from Sierra Nevada?
Celebration. Yeah, yeah.
Celebration. Like was hoppy, probably but the like
a
hoppy. Winter. Yeah,
it's a celebration, bitches.
And a Schlafly dry hopped or whatever it was. The green label on the front. I think those were the two first ones I had because they had it for like $2 you call it, and I was just like 6%.
Yep.
Yeah.
We call that hobo math.
That's great.
But I think that those were probably my first. I mean, definitely Amberbach and Honey Brown. I didn't really think about that for a long time.
That's what's cool. Like, you know, some people are almost nervous if you ask, like, what's a craft beer?
Yeah, Phil tried to, like, say, I drank Blue Moon, but, no, it was
good.
And then
he was shaming that.
Yeah. I drank Captain for like 6 years when I was like 19, and then I fucking drank Keystone. Like,
nobody jumps.
Light years,
nobody jumps straight into Alpha King.
Exactly. That's just how beer is.
Yeah. I think I drank Bud Light one night, and then I found Stone Ruination, and it was it.
Yeah. All right, so breweries that you've visited, we've talked off air a bit. You go out to California. You do. What's the proper term for it with your fire?
The stick, what do you call it? Fire sticking. Sticking.
The fancy terminology would be object manipulation.
Okay.
We call it a little bit lesser than that. We call it form of like what we call flow arts.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like you take yoga, martial arts, and stuff like juggling, you smoosh it together, and you get something that's a form of performance art, but really it's like hobbyist.
And then add fire to it.
So do you juggle as well?
I juggle.
Okay, so you can do that.
He does all that shit.
You sword eat?
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Yes. No. Sorry. Fire eat.
Fire. Okay. Yeah. I was like, sword you can do a sword.
There will not be a demonstration here in Blake's love hole.
That's what I was wanting.
No. Yeah.
Oh wait. Not that kind of sword.
No. No.
Stop. You tricked me there.
But fire spinning.
Okay. All right. So
but it's very different for me because one scope of the spectrum is like. No offense, hippies, but there's, like, hippie fire spinning, and then there's, like, I don't want to call it professional, but, like, courteous fire spinning.
Our hippie doesn't fire spit.
Yeah, because most people, it's, like, all about festivals. I don't want to go into, like, too much, like, bullshit, but, like, it's, like, this one perspective and the other perspective is people that, like, I don't want to say take it serious, but, like, appreciate what they have and the time they spent with it and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I kind of sit in the middle where I
let. So where could we ever see you doing this? Yeah. I mean, is there like a hobby or you actually perform?
Yeah, actually in Peoria, there's a group called Heart of Illinois Hoopers that I've been running for the last 4.5 years.
Yeah, you've been doing it a while.
Yeah, I've been part of a fire performance group, a couple. Help with one in Chicago, one in St. Louis.
Cool.
And then one here, one half of it's Prometheus Arts, one half of it's Lux Orbis.
Prometheus, I like that.
Prometheus fire, series, yeah.
That's a good that's Prometheus, my, you know, fire.
That's my
yeah.
fire performance
that's
bullshit.
Cool. That's cool.
And then Lux Orbis I've been performing with, you might know Joe, maybe, Spanier.
Nope.
Like, he's the kid who got me into it years ago. But yeah, Hardmillion Hoopers, we get together at the Riverfront, downtown Pure, at the Gateway Building.
You have to let us know, so every Wednesday. I would like to come, but then we could also post it.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
you're ever
we'll promote.
Be doing some kind of performance.
I saw him, him and his group, they did a performance out at, it was Wildlife Scary Park
oh,
one
shit,
year.
Oh, shit, it's that one year?
And I ran back into you, days. Yeah, back,
you
back way back.
You may be sad I missed it, but...
10 years?
Okay. Wow.
Like, I got into it, like, a long time ago. Like, Joe ran up to me one day. Like, we were both, like, shared an interest in different weird stuff when we were kids. And he ran into me one night when I think I was bouncing at Richards on the weekends, like, okay. back in the day. And he was like, I got something you might be interested in. Went to a class or two. Didn't really ever process what the hell I was getting into. Just kind of did it. And I was like, cool. This is something that kind of blends a lot of these interesting aspects I like. And let's try it out for a new hobby. Because at the time... I had, like, nothing, you know what I mean? Like, I was working a full-time job as a CNC machinist for, like, multiple years and so on and whatnot.
CNC okay, Music cool. Factory is what they used to be called.
Oh, back in the day, yeah. yeah. Before the industrial age.
Everybody used to dance. It was crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, he introduced me to it, taught me all the basics and stuff like that, and we kicked it for a long time, and then it's just blown up.
Yeah.
It's just gotten incredibly popular. Like, I threw a festival here in Peoria, like, maybe
yeah, I remember
three,
that.
4 years ago, and then hosting the jams and stuff like that.
I'd love to come
yeah.
to it.
So, yeah, this takes you all across the country, so I guarantee you have visited some kick-ass breweries.
Ish.
What has been one of your favorites?
Budweiser and St. Louis.
It's an incredible honestly, of the ones I have, brew houses and everything else that are really cool, I haven't been to some favorites. You know, I'd really like to try a couple.
Okay.
That I, like, you know, I would love to go to Russia River and be like, Russia
for
River,
sure, for sure.
Wouldn't.
Yeah.
But honestly, Three Floyds. Like, I've been to some great
you know
food
what?
Places.
We just live in a good area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Midwest, a lot of people said that, yeah. but it yeah. is cool.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I'm a metalhead. So,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I play metal all the time, from thrash to doom to industrial.
Uh-huh.
The whole place is decorated in, like, Rat Fink, Simpsons.
It's so
crazy
cool.
art.
Yeah.
And there's... they're playing 80s cult films, like
exactly.
Back to the Future and Rocky V and fucking
or Kung Fu movies.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah, I was just going to
yeah.
say, yeah, Kill
yeah.
Bill,
and then you
talk, awesome.
Like, in the first couple times, I didn't fall in love with their food. I was like, that's all right.
That's kind
of
how I was.
But I just went this last week and got this, like, crazy egg poutine with Gouda and their ramen.
Yeah, their food is good.
And then now Three Floyds has a collab brew with Michler in Copenhagen called War Pigs, which has been up for like a year.
Yeah, yeah.
They had their beer on tap.
Which one did they
that's
have?
A Black Sabbath.
Because I've had the only one I've had at other collabs was a Black Flame.
No,
I think.
It wasn't. Oh. Yeah.
It was,
yeah. This one was a Lazarette. This was our IPA.
See, I haven't had
and
any of the other ones.
And fucking incredible. I mean,
I didn't know,
like,
you could get them around here.
The guy
or maybe
that,
they only sell them.
The main brewer, from what I was told, that used to be for Three Floyds, or one of them, moved over to Copenhagen due to this collab.
Okay.
And was in town for a small while, so he brewed a large or a smaller batch for them, and so they had it on their guest handle. And I was like, well, I'm down, let's try it. And me and my friend JJ I was with, hanging out, like, bells. But we tried it, and it was really stupendous. But, I mean, Three Floyds is probably, and I've been to, you know, Against the Grain's probably my second in Louisville.
I'd like to try
it. You know, Against the Grain's got great barbecue
food. They make the Bo and Luke. That's the only one I've ever had from them. But they make that Citra Ass Down, which I like. I love
the brown note.
Clever name.
The brown note. Yeah, yeah.
They make an incredible.
That is a horrible looking can.
Oh, it's amazing.
Great.
I've never had any of those.
So disgusting.
But see, that is what I would buy for the name.
They got one of the guys from Distill just moved in and started working there too. Aaron, so he's working for them now.
Against the Grain?
Against the Grain, yeah.
Really?
It was earlier last year, I think, sometime. But, I mean, they do some incredible collab brews in Louisville a lot. Like, they had a huge one with just brandy barrels last year. They were challenged.
I wish
like,
we could get that around here.
Yeah.
We do what?
Well, I guess Chicago gets
Against
Chicago
Grain.
Does, yeah.
We get,
but we don't get it, do
yeah.
we? Peoria
yeah,
does?
We get Citrus Down. We get Brown Note. We get
Where?
A few others.
I've
like,
never
Prior
seen
that. Yeah, they
really?
Have all of it. Yep.
Are you sure?
Yeah. And Bloomington.
He's getting three shaking heads facing him.
Both.
We're just not getting to the shop at the right time, or we don't know the right people.
Yeah,
we
don't know
maybe.
The right people.
Yeah.
Mike has the connects.
Yeah.
All
right? Yeah,
you need beer in the Peoria area.
I'm just going to go and be like, hey, I know the Cicerone.
I know Mike.
I know the Cicerone.
Yeah, the Cicerone.
And if you don't give that beer to me, he's going to come set your ass
that's
on fire.
Right. Yeah,
Ico, Ico, I name.
That's where the back wall the back wall of Fryer Truck opens up like Willy Wonka's truck.
Yeah.
You mean the
back wall of the fox?
Yeah.
Now,
the back wall of the fox is like the cellar, just like...
Yeah. I don't want to cast allegations, but Brianna said she did see some people going into the back freezer area when she was there last time.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying nothing.
That's where you get ZJ's.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
It's totally possible. I've been to places where it's like, hey, I don't know what we have on the shelf. You know, in Louisville, like some of their beer, like their liquor barns, which are like
triple the size of Friar Tuck, and the beer's fresh.
The beer's fresh. Yeah. Oh,
but like they walked in the back and been like, "Hey, check it out. This is what we have." I'm just like, "Why the fuck is this not on your shelf? You'd be selling it." And they're like, "Nah, man." I'm like, "All right, well, I'll take all of it then."
Let me write you a check for my life savings.
Different Bennies in the Burbs in Chicago will do the same thing. Where I was standing there. It was a Dark Lord ticket day, you know, and guys were coming in like, "Did you get a ticket? Did you get a ticket?" And one guy just walked in, was like, "What don't you have on the shelf?" And he's like, "All right, come back here. I've got some Three Floyds, got some..."
Okay, I guess that's just what I have to lead with. No, I feel like I'm just slapping my dick on the counter and like,
you say, "Hey, to do that.
Yeah, show me what you got."
That's how it is some places. I was at a Bennies before too, and like, if you kind of know what's out, or I'm just like, you know, I'm like, "Hey, you guys have any Big Hugs?
I gotta run.
Like, which Half Acre makes?" And
Mike's got to head out. All the Cicerone, he's got to educate the masses at the Fox Pub. Yes. And we will have you back again, for sure. Thank you, Mike.
Yes, we will.
Have a great night. Take care. Enjoy the beer.
But yeah, if you know what's on the shelf at some of these places, you just... or not on the shelf. I mean, what's out, but like they should have on the shelf, but they don't. Like, you ask, and sometimes they're like,
"Did you get your phone?"
Those are mine.
Okay, you have two phones? Are you a drug dealer?
Can we edit this out?
Yeah, one's the burner phone.
Oh, okay. No, I think it makes it real and, like, seedy. Like, what? Right. What's this Chad guy's deal? He's got two cell phones.
Unfortunately, one is just mine, and the other one work pays for.
Oh, okay. So
not nearly as seedy as it.
So what? What's the first craft beer you remember getting into?
Like we talked about, I had I felt like graduated. I did the Bud Light years, and then I was like, "Oh, Heineken, yeah, you know." But really, the first craft beer I think I may even still have the bottle. We were at the Hofbräu in Peoria.
Oh, awesome and place! Awesome.
It was 90. I'm probably the oldest guest you've had on, but it was like 90.
Eric was no
95.
Brutal Eric's older than you, I think. Okay. Yeah,
it was like 94, 95 when we were there, and it was a bottle of Sprecher. Oktoberfest.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, since I'm in a German place, Sprecher Oktoberfest.
Yeah. When in Hofbräu, do as
the Hofbräuians do.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
So I just really thought that it was a German beer. I thought it was an import.
Yeah.
So then that's what really, like, it had so much flavor, and you know, I was just like, "This is crazy. Can I have that bottle and keep it?" So I remember just having it on my shelf.
Yeah.
You know, drinking.
That's super cool. Do you still have it?
I'm pretty sure I do.
That's cool.
And I think it would have been quite a few years later. That's when I started getting into, when Friar Tuck opened, I started just buying for the labels, you know, like, see a funny label.
Yeah, yeah.
Buy it.
Funny. I mean, I've done that before, you know, I mean, you see a cool label, it's like, that might be.
So I get a mix of six every week, and then pretty soon I was just like, "Oh wait, I actually like how this tastes. What is it?"
Yeah.
It's an IPA, and then and that's why I started paying attention to, like, oh, and then you start buying breweries and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Cool. And, I heard you chiming in about Three Floyds, so I'm not sure if that's your answer, but what are some of your favorite breweries that you've visited?
Actually, the New Glarus is fantastic.
I've never been there. I want to go so bad.
It's on my list. That was supposed to be the next place Brianna and I go, so maybe
this summer for an R&D release. They're doing one in June and one in October. They coincide with festivals.
Yeah.
So that's a cool thing. They're R&D releases.
All right. Hopefully it's not
Polka Beer Bacon Cheese. Yeah. The next one's like... the taste of whatever area or Wisconsin or something. Yeah. The last one, I think, is Oktoberfest. So they always coincide with a couple.
I'm in as long as it's not a kid weekend. Yeah. You know, Chad and I, we got 14-year-old daughters.
Hey,
we got
to hang out too, with. And it will be a non-kid weekend, so I'm definitely in.
But it's the new brewery. We visited the old brewery because my wife's parents...
was it still in... But both in
Yeah, you can still, yeah, okay. You can still drive by it, but it looks like a tiny little warehouse now compared to this new place. This new place is... It's like beer Disneyland. It's crazy. Well,
their beers are great.
Did you go early on before like they were super? I mean, they're popular. You know, what I mean, before they were like super super popular.
Yeah,
I guess
we would have went in. I want to say like 2000, 2001.
Okay, so like yeah, like a while. Like they were still pretty new then.
Yeah,
and like,
that was another one of those where the Staghorn, the Oktoberfest that they have, is fantastic, and that was one of the first. One of their beers I'd had besides Spotted Cow, you know, and stuff like that. But again, just fantastic. You know, it just really fit the time and the taste was great. But the cool thing was we were, I did, that's getting really weird now, but Marnie's stepdad is up there with her mom, and he's a dentist, and he became our dentist, so we would drive to Wisconsin to get our teeth worked on. So.
Oh, yeah. Hey, why not?
Why not? Exactly.
It's better than paying, like, $300 or $400 bucks a year for dental.
My high school girlfriend, her dad was a doctor, and her mom was a nurse, and they got flu shots in their kitchen.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
So we were going up. I was going up to get some work done, and I took my daughter, and we just took a little road trip and went to New Glarus, and that's she loved it because they got all the root beers and the they do a, I want to say like a strawberry beer and or soda
yeah.
And so she loves all the root beers and stuff, so we went there and we're taking the tour and everything, and then you go out back and they have like their fake ruins of like a castle almost.
Really?
Yeah.
At the new
fucking
one?
Stonehenge?
Yeah. I've seen like some pictures that kind of, I was like, where are they? Because that's what it almost looked like that to me. Just like ruins. I was like, where is this place?
Yeah. It's got like a
isn't
castle.
Isn't it kind of up on a hill
turret
or something?
It is a magical land.
Yeah. The pictures I saw, they had a view, but I was like, what is going on here? Is it like,
it's full of beer and magic.
I'm here for beer and magic.
I am the hop fairy.
Where do you keep the dragons?
So yeah, it's really impressive. And that's, we went from there to Grumpy Troll.
Ah, Grumpy? That's on my list,
like,
too. When I go to New
Glarus,
I hear they have great pizza.
Yes.
No, bullshit. Why do you guys both know what this is? And I have
okay,
no idea.
Okay, here's the reason
Mount
why. Is yeah, Mount Horeb. Because,
how do you know about this?
Because Brianna and I were planning a Wisconsin trip, and unfortunately, my funds dried up before we were able to make it, so I still have an itinerary.
The Grumpy Troll.
We're hitting.
I've never heard,
we're gonna hit New Glarus.
It's a little brew pub.
Yeah, a little brew pub, and they've got great food and everything.
Great beer.
Because we were gonna go to
house. They don't distribute anything. They just pretty much sell like growlers.
Pretty much
on site.
I know they distribute a little bit.
Maybe like locally, but it's
exactly.
Not like something you're ever gonna see.
I follow them on Facebook, and I will be there.
The Grumpy
I'm hoping
Troll.
By the end of the year.
Yeah, it's a great brew pub.
That's
and it's
cool.
And they, like that trip, you hit New Glarus, swing up to Grumpy Troll, go over to Madison.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah, we were gonna hit a few in that area.
I need to step my game up. You guys are.
That's what we do.
Wisconsin brewery.
Anytime the lady and I hit the road, we usually hit a couple breweries.
Yeah.
That's one advantage of having a hot girlfriend who likes craft beer. You know, it's like,
well, I have a hot wife who likes craft beer.
Yep. Hey, we met her last week. Everybody knows. You know,
okay,
she's cool. She's in the club.
They didn't see her though, but she's super hot.
So yeah. I my glasses are empty and I don't know what to
this
do.
Is bullshit. Can we just keep recording for a few hours?
I kind of want to. I kind of want to. Like,
what do I have down here?
We ended up
doing that too. Planned a family trip to Michigan, and of course, it was just peppered with wineries and.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's like all you see. I love it when you're driving on the interstate up there, because like some places it's like, you know, this exit Denny's. This it's like no up there. It's like this exit this
winery.
Next exit this winery.
Yeah.
Like, you know, see this brewery. It's
do you think breweries will get to that point where they're on interstate? State signs like, hey, Three Floyds is exit
awesome.
292.
Right.
I'm surprised they're not like that's like Munster, Indiana. That's got to be like you know, like probably like 10% of their economy is like people coming to go to Three Floyds. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like
for sure.
Well, you know, we got Mike the Cicerone. We got his opinions and Chad before you know they had to. Well, Mike before he had to leave. Chad's still with us. But we've also...
Mike had to go to work after consuming all these beers. Poor guy.
But we have an interview clip with Justin. We talked beer with him for a bit.
Yeah.
So I think this would be a good spot to play that. So let's see what Justin has to say. And I was looking at your tour schedule, and I saw some very good brewing cities on the list. And I was wondering, do you have an agenda for when you come to these towns? You're like, we're going to be in Fort Collins. I'm hitting this place and I'm going to be down in, you know, Tampa. I got to go to Cigar City and this and that. Do you have time that you're able to hit up any of the craft breweries around the country?
We don't get to go to the actual brewery. I mean, when I was touring solo, I played a lot of those craft breweries because they would have me in and play solo shows. And, so I've been to a lot. But with the full band, we don't get to go as much. But what we do is every time I go to the bar, the first thing we do when we go to get a beer is like, okay, what's local? What's the local selection like?
Mm-hmm.
And the craft brewing kind of scene has popped off so much in this country. It's like there's there's high quality beers in a lot of different places, which definitely. Is great because it's, you know, I mean, I definitely have no problem with drinking a Bud Light, but it's fun to kind of taste the places you go. And definitely in Colorado, I mean, there's, among other things, we'll definitely be taking in Colorado. We'll definitely be hitting up some breweries because my girlfriend is flying out. We're in Colorado around Valentine's Day, so all the ladies are kind of flying in to be with us in Colorado
nice.
For a few days. So that's I definitely cool. imagine we'll be taking some brewery tours, drinking lots of beer and smoking lots of weed, and feeling the love with the ladies. But also, I'm looking forward to some of the Oregon places. We were in San Francisco a couple of days ago, and a guy was telling me. In Eugene, there's some really good breweries, and we're in Eugene in a couple of days, so I'm excited for that. Also, you know, Portland, Seattle is supposed to have some pretty good local breweries. So
definitely,
it's something like Food and Bev is a big thing in Charleston. We're a big food city, and we're an even bigger drinking city, especially if you're local. So you know, we kind of appreciate good craft beer as well as good, you know. Quality food and different things like that. So it's always fun to experience those things from the places we're going to.
All right. Justin, yeah, I'm going to take you up on that offer. If we make it out to that area.
Yep.
It's,
me too.
It may take a while. He may forget who I am.
Who cares?
But it could be 6 years from now. I'd be like, hey, dude, remember that time you were on my podcast?
You tell us.
I want a drink.
Yeah, exactly. He seems like the kind of guy that wouldn't do that to us.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember. I'd be like, no, remember you were like in a casino and we were like interviewing you.
That was a great interview. Are we going to post just for the listeners?
Yes, we are.
Are we going
to
post an interview?
I wanted to mention that. We are going to post as a bonus the entire interview that we did with Justin because we talked about more than just the songs and just the beer. There's a little bit of the history of Susto and just how things went. It's, I would say, probably about a 20 to 25 minute interview.
Yeah, there's just only so much we can't put the whole thing
right, exactly.
on the show. So
yeah, if you subscribe, it will automatically show up in your feed.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
If you don't, fucking do it.
Yeah.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, subscribe, dummy.
So just keep an eye out for that. We will have the bonus Susto interview. And aside from that, send us all of your feedback, ideas, job references.
All of your money.
All your monies. Drunken Lullabies Podcast at yahoo.com.
I know we say this all the time, but have we had a single email? I don't think we have.
No, I've had emails, but it's...
Or as far as like recommendations or things people
not from
see.
Listeners,
iTunes
but
reviews.
We do have some great iTunes reviews.
Yeah,
and
which is awesome. We do appreciate that.
I do appreciate that, and, you know, keep them coming.
If there's something you want to hear or like a brewery you want to see on the show, like tell us, because like... even say you're a listener from like out of state or something, and you get some beer that
we have international.
I'll
listeners.
Gladly send you a shipping label and money for the beer, and like you know, ship us the beer, and we'll review it on the show.
We have people listening in Iraq, which I don't even know how that's fucking possible.
I'm just
but we do
assuming nice. That it is maybe some guys serving over there.
I would assume so.
I'm assuming there aren't a bunch of Iraqis that are like, hey, I heard about this great shit.
Yeah,
if they. Right. Than great.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
I have no problem.
More power to them.
I'm just assuming
probably
maybe somebody is serving over
we
there.
We support the troops and we will drink this fine beer and make you miss home. Yes. So
actually, let's drink while these guys got to sign off from the show.
Yeah.
Wonder what we're doing.
Yeah, the
let's
episode.
Pop a green tooth pill.
It does have to end, but.
Not for us.
Not for us. The party always continues at Drunken Lullabies.
Black Cat 13 Brew.
Yeah. Chad from Black Cat 13 brought us some beer. So we are going to drink that while you get to enjoy whatever you're drinking.
And you can just wonder about how good this beer was.
Yeah. And pour yourself another and have a great Sunday. And we will see you in a week. We'll talk to you fuckers later. Bye.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production. Produced by Dustin Wyckoff. Executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.